the morning to you, Cisa. You smoothie, me ice cold pizza. Cafe ole, latte da. You do the Zumba, but I do not. Give me like half a marathon. I'll give you the gospel of St. John. Hits me like a wake up bomb. Cause we both know that His mercy flows in the morning. No, I'm serious.
Love me. morning, Father God. Good morning, Lord Jesus. Good morning, Holy Spirit. Good morning, Tedline. Do you know it this morning? Do you know it this morning? Do you know that Jesus loves you? I mean, do you really know that Jesus loves you? The best song I could find was that one right there. Remember, you know, when you were little, or maybe your Sunday school teacher, or maybe your mama or your daddy or your grandma taught you that song. So this morning, it's just you and Jesus. I want you to sing to Jesus this morning. I want you to sing this song to Jesus. Can you do that? Let's see. Can hear it. The devil needs to know that you know, and this is a good way for him to find this out this morning. I want you to make melody in your heart to the Lord by worshiping him through this little song here. Let every devil in hell hear you this morning. Raise your hands in honor and worship and praise to God. 2 minutes and 20 seconds.
Yes, Jesus loves me.
Jesus loves you. Jesus doesn't love anybody else more than he loves you. And he doesn't love anybody else any less than he loves you. Wonderful Savior, mighty God.
Church boy!
This don't make no sense, Sean. Hey. I hope I bring you glory on this one, Father. Hey. Help me now.
Thank you.
Going to get this morning, and some of you not going to get this morning because you don't fully believe that Jesus loves you. You see, I know some of you not going to get this message this morning, and you know what? This is one that's in the binder. God, this is one of the ones the Lord say put in the binder, which means that you got to get this. This is foundational. Some of you, I'm just kind of like reinforcing what you already know, but you need to know it to a greater degree. We all do. There are degrees in which we are given by God through wisdom. This is one of them. Okay, this is one of them.
Thank you.
We only get life by coming to Jesus and receiving from Jesus. We don't get anything by just knowing something about Jesus. I said, we only get life by coming to Jesus and receiving from Jesus. We don't get anything by knowing something about Jesus. Whoa, that's a strong, that's what I said to the Holy Ghost too. I said, that's a strong statement. He said, not when you put this with John chapter 5, verse 39 and 40. You search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and these are they which testify of me. But you are not willing to come to me that you may have life. We only get life by coming to Jesus and receiving from Jesus. We don't get anything just knowing something about Jesus. He told me to tell you again. He gave me this before in a different kind of way, but God said you got to stop trying to analyze him. You got to stop trying to analyze what he is saying. Are you hearing me this morning? God says you got to stop trying to analyze him. And you got to stop trying to analyze what he's saying. The Holy Spirit says, even with legitimate revelation, thinking and talking about revelation does not change you. Revelation, like prophecy, points to potential. And potential means that you haven't done it yet, or you haven't received it yet. Are you with me this morning? You can receive the revelation, and you can get, excuse me, the interpretation. But except you can apply it to your own personal life, walk it out with God, you're still hiding. You're still hiding behind all those gifts and revelations that are causing you to analyze God. You only get life by coming to Jesus and receiving from Jesus. Even the gift of the Holy Spirit says he is like tired. I said, you get tired? I didn't even know God. But I remembered some of my teachings about God. Yeah, he gets tired. Not tired like we do, physically tired. You're not willing to come to me that you may have life. Can somebody post John chapter 5, verse 39 through 40? The Holy Spirit say we only get life by coming to Jesus and receiving from Jesus. The Word of God says over here, it says, the Lord God has given me the tongue of a disciple and of one who is taught, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him who is weary. He wakens me morning by morning. He wakens my ear to hear, excuse me, as a disciple, as one who is taught. Now, I must have been moving too fast. I didn't write these scriptures. So I need you to post Isaiah 50 and 4 and 1 John 1:1-4. Can you post those for me? Isaiah 50. Isaiah 50, verse 4, and 1 John 1:1-4. This is one of those ones I got. This is really going to help somebody. Somebody needed to hear that Jesus loved them this morning. They needed that really bad. And somebody, this message that God turned my message all the way around for you. Search the scriptures. Isaiah 50, verse 4. Can somebody post that real quick? Isaiah chapter 50, verse 4. The Lord God has given me, his servant, the tongue of disciples, as one who is taught, that I may know how to sustain the weary with the word. He awakens me morning by morning. He awakens my ear to listen as a disciple, as one who is taught. Thank you. First John 1:1-4. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled, of the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. This might have changed the message, but I don't think so. I was moving kind of fast, and I didn't write these two scriptures down. But you can rest assured that what God has given us in his word is exactly what he means. You see, remember, this had to be translated through a human vessel. But God reveals himself progressively to us. He doesn't show up in his fullness all at once. Most believers have enough Bible information, but the Holy Spirit is concerned that we are not directly applying it to our lives. So the Holy Spirit was making me to know that knowledge refers to having facts and information. Understanding adds meaning and principles to our knowledge. But the wisdom of God adds practical application to knowledge and understanding. The wisdom of God reveals how I can use what I have learned. The Holy Spirit is concerned that wisdom and understanding must be added to our knowledge in order to have a Christian faith that God wants you and I to have. And I need some people to post this. God wants you to have a Christian faith that is real, alive, and working for you. Brothers and sisters, God is concerned that you need more of a relationship with him so that you can learn to fully trust him in your daily life. The Holy Spirit is concerned that too many Christians have become unbelieving believers, that too many Christians are having difficulty trusting in God in too many specific areas of their lives. See, I believe that all believers know theologically that God is omnipresent, meaning that God is present everywhere. Whether we feel him or not, our awareness of him or our lack of the awareness of him does not mean that he's not there. Are you tracking with me this morning so far? The Holy Spirit kept emphasizing what we need is the actual awareness of God's presence with us moment by moment, because that is the reality of the omnipresence of God. You see, when it came to salvation, at that moment of salvation, believers generally don't have a problem believing that God will come into the heart of an unbeliever if the unbeliever asks him. The Holy Spirit was making me to understand that most Christians forget that the way they became a Christian is that they had to ask Jesus to do something for them. And then he did it. And he did it immediately, being convinced, because they were told by somebody that if they would receive Jesus in their hearts and ask him to forgive them from their sins, he would do it. Why? Because Jesus, God, Holy Spirit, are always present, everywhere. Woo! Everywhere, all the time. I told you I was writing this, so stick with me. The Holy Spirit was causing me to understand that faith could even be defined as a strong, unshakable belief in something. But faith by itself can be entirely mental. Even a little kid, a toddler, can have faith that if they hit that button, the light will come on. Post us in the chat room. True spiritual faith. True spiritual faith engages the heart. And true spiritual faith is the gateway into receiving from God. Now understand, saving faith was necessary for our initial conversion experience. When we first got saved, we believed, because each man is given a measure of faith to receive salvation. So we believe that Jesus was present to save, and by that faith, we welcome Jesus into our hearts. And our reward was our faith brought about a true inner assurance that something happened. Why? Because we can now sense the presence of God where before we couldn't. Are you with me so far? The Holy Spirit is saying, but now you analyze God right out of faith. You got to now move from that initial understanding of the omnipresence of God being present right there to save you. You got to move now into the omnipresence of God, to living. Remember, you got to move from the presence of God being there at that moment. You got to move into living faith, where you live and where you believe you are living in the manifest presence of God, and you're living with all that is manifest ability which comes with himself. You got to move from him being there to him being wherever you are, everywhere, 24/7, 365 days a week. And that is called living faith. Living faith is not a blind faith. Living faith is a reality of faith that is experienced and received. Can you put that? Living faith is a reality of faith that can be experienced and received. You see, Jesus has given us a unity within himself, and in that unity with himself is his ability working through us to the degree that we can experience everything that Jesus is. This make sure you get this right and do not quote me wrong. You don't have to believe it is possible to abide in Jesus. I said, you don't have to believe that it is possible to abide in Jesus. Why do you have to believe it is possible to do something that you're already doing right now? You don't have to believe to breathe. Are you tracking with me this morning? You don't have to believe to abide in him because you're already abiding in him. He is already abiding in you. All you got to do is live in his life. All you got to do is breathe his air. You don't have to believe it is possible to do what you're already doing, to have what you already have. What you still looking for? You search the scriptures. For in them you think you have eternal life. And these are they which testify me. But you are not willing to come to me that you may have life. You done analyzed your faith to the point that it's not working. You done overanalyze what God has not said. Brothers and sisters, you have Jesus. You have the omnipresence of God. Now you got to learn to trust it. You don't have to believe it anymore. You got to trust it. You got to trust the fact that Jesus, hallelujah, is present at every moment of every day. And then you got to live in it. But you got to understand, you're living in a more powerful way. You see, brothers and sisters, the Holy Spirit is concerned that you can't grow in the Christ likeness of God until you have, whoa, the confidence that He is always present to bring you into the place of His ability in everything. And when you get there, when you recognize it, you will truly desire. You will want God's will more than your own. You'll be able to distinguish between God's power and ability and your soulish realm. Powers and ability. So you say, okay, Eric, you're talking about it, you know, but can you show me? Yeah, I can show you. Remember Gideon? Remember Gideon? Gideon was a judge over Israel. And you know the Bible describes him as timid. Even although the Bible describes Gideon as timid, Gideon is known as the greatest of all the 15 judges. And compared with some of the other judges that ruled Israel, Gideon seems to get more coverage. But remember when we first met Gideon in the Bible? Gideon was hiding from the enemies on a threshing floor. Gideon, from the least of the least, coming from a tribe classified as the least of the least. Gideon received a call from God. The call was to take on the Midianites. The Midianites were a nomadic and huge group of people that had depleted Israel's supplies. Even what God does to Gideon makes Gideon look like the most unlikely candidate to save Israel. There are two major highlights Gideon is found in Judges, chapter 6 through 8. But I suggest when you have a chance, you read the entirety of those two chapters to get a full picture of Gideon. You see, Gideon analyzed God too. And he's doing just like some of you are doing. Gideon tested God. Brothers and sisters, you don't come to God testing him. You come to God with the full assurance that He is the omnipotent, omniscient, omnipresent God. Well, when Gideon heard that he was going to save the people of the Israelite people, Gideon doesn't really believe it at first. So Gideon tests God, like some of you doing. Analyzing God, testing God. Right off the bat, contradicting the command of God not to put the Lord to a test. Deuteronomy 6:16. But Gideon appears to test God a lot. First, He required his God to put dew on the fleece that he lays out instead of on the ground. Then he asked for the opposite, a dry fleece and a wet ground. Then once more, he tests God, asked for the opposite. This was not the right thing to do, and this came from a lack of faith in God. Nevertheless, God, brothers and sisters, complied with Gideon's test. And that's how some of you have been receiving. God has been complying with your test, with your analysis of him. But you see, there came a point that God pulled all the crutches out from underneath Gideon, and it was God that forced Gideon to rely on him. And it is God that is forcing you to rely on him. You see, when God wanted Gideon to bring an army and take on the enormous Midianite army, he brings 32,000 men. This is in Judges chapter 7. And that still wasn't more than the Midianites. But it took 32,000 men for Gideon to be comfortable with doing what God told him to do. But God had other plans. Now, Gideon had put God in a position where God understands that Gideon only understands fleeces and tests, and God enlists a series of tests of his own on Gideon, reminiscent of those tests that Gideon had put him under. First, God makes Gideon send home anyone who is afraid. Hear me this morning. And it turned out that 22,000 of the people in the army are full of fear, doubt, and unbelief, and head on their way back home. Now, with 10,000 left, God makes them drink water. Apparently, only 300 of the men drank the water by putting their hands to their mouths. The other 9,700 who knelt to drink are sent home too. With just 300 men now, what does Gideon know? Post this in the chat room this morning. Gideon knows he has to rely on God to provide a miracle. Did you hear me? Gideon knows that he has to rely on God to provide a miracle. Gideon, just like you and I, had to be made by God. In other words, Gideon had to become a God-made man. Gideon was transformed by God from an anxious, timid man to a man of power and ability. There was a transference that took place in an encounter with God. Please understand this. Gideon couldn't talk it up. He couldn't say, "Oh, I think that's a good idea. I believe that'll work." There was something that Gideon had to receive. And Gideon didn't get it just by being exposed to it. Are you hearing me? Gideon had to open himself up and receive. He had to receive from God. And then he had to obey what he received. But he had to receive this transference, this revelation, this knowledge and wisdom. There is an importance in receiving from God. You see, you started out with a desire to know the God of your salvation. But hallelujah, brothers and sisters, after that, you have to learn to receive all that God had for you. It is important for you and I today to pray through our doubts, to pray through our unbelief. We must receive the things that God has for us. We must be assured of what God has already done for us. And we must be open to the assurance of God's ability by trusting Him, by choosing to trust Him, by choosing to receive a supernatural exchange from God to strengthen you, to build up your spirit man, brothers and sisters, by dealing with your fears through Christ and no longer allowing them to render you incapable of going any further in God. You got to overcome this crazy analysis, analyzing God. You got to overcome the fact that it is the devil that makes your mind center around things that the devil says are unattainable, lies, by things that the devil says are unknowable, lies, by things that the devil says are uncontrollable, lies, lies, lies. You got to stand up. You got to stand up facing what you dread, refusing to tolerate those lies. You have a choice to make. Will you yield to? Will you receive from a faithful God, a loving God, the same one that saved you when you didn't know Him? The same one was present for you when you didn't know Him. The bottom line is this. You are going to have to release that control into God. You have to bring God and His sovereignty into your everyday life, where the foundation of your life has transferred from faith in you to faith in Him. Of course, you're going to continue to use your brain. But your brain is no longer analyzing God. But your brain now is submitted to God because you are aware God in his omnipresence is everywhere. You are is everything that you're doing. Glory be to God. And you trust him. And you trust him. And you trust him because you know that he trusts you. Glory be to God. You know you have the full assurance, brothers and sisters, because you have now moved into living faith. Living faith in God. Aren't you glad about it this morning? Aren't you glad about it this morning? Living faith has brought you into the reality and into the trust and into the knowledge. But most importantly, into the wisdom and understanding. Christ in you, with all of God's ability in you, and you trust him, and you make him Lord of everything. To sum it up, you stop analyzing God. Stop analyzing his words, and trust in him, because you understand he trusts you.
I'm captivated, faded, I'm on a whole new retreat. My space invaded, upgraded, I hear you talking to me. It's in the boom of the thunder, it's in the cool of the rain. And I'll say, ever wanna get away. Tonight is beautiful, it's got my mind on you, and everywhere I turn is a reminder.
Everything, you're all up in me. Everything,
Blog Talk, you can't see what I posted in Spreaker, but I put, heaven on earth belongs to you. Trust God. No more tests for God, and God will stop testing you. The testing will end. Trust God so that God can trust you. God meets you and me where we are. The testing must end so that the blessings can begin. You can't test God for no healing. You can't test God for no deliverance. You can't test God, meaning you can do it because God won't violate your will. But you just heaping more testing on yourself because you got doubt and unbelief. Living faith is what you need. Live, active faith. Just like the word of God. Alive. Hebrews 4 and 12. Alive. Living faith.